This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Hello and welcome to yet another edition of the Steve Carino Show. I'm your host, Steve Carino. Can you believe this? Episode 13, we haven't been canceled yet. The Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week free of charge through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, and you should know this by now, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the four Carino-inspired t-shirts. Like I say every week, there's that Steve Carino shirt. It says King of Old School on the front. Pretty freaking cool. Mr. Wrestling 3 doesn't even look like a wrestling shirt. Looks like a creepy mask on the front of a shirt. Get that. The PWF logo with the big turtle. What other wrestling promotion has a turtle? And my favorite one, the American Tiger shirt. They're up there at the moment. Remember, it's prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino. My interview with C.W. Anderson's out with High Spots, and you order from High Spots all the time, don't you? Of course you do. They have everything from wrestling rings, wrestling gear, belts, DVDs, and DVDs hosted by me at King of Old School Steve Carino. Click on that High Spots link on worldofcarino.com. You buy, they throw a little bit my way, then I'm super happy. Don't forget, worldofcarino.com. Get over there. It just updated. It's pretty freaking awesome. On tonight's show, we got the man, the myth, the legend, a good friend of mine, and the co-founder of Omega Championship Wrestling, Thomas Boom Boom Simpson. He's going to be a lot of fun, and he's also a longtime contributor to the tweet section, and he's a very big supporter of our show. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. Like, I guess we got a lot to talk about on every show, but a lot of stuff. My man, Dan McGinn, he sends me a rundown usually every Monday or Tuesday afternoon because I'm no help to him whatsoever. And, we got a lot of topics going on, and we're going to start off with, as he hashtagged it, thanks. Last weekend was the last weekend of Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor Wrestling. And to say it was emotional, is pretty much an understatement. Kevin's been around for a long time, and my relationship with Kevin Steen goes back even further than ROH. I actually wrestled Kevin on an EWR show, I don't remember what that stood for, in Montreal in 2004. He was 20 years old, man. And I pulled out the DVD case for my wife last week, and she was like, "Oh my God, Kevin looks like a child." And I said, "Right, doesn't he?" And, you know, from there, our friendship started, and, you know, I had recommended him for a Japan tour. I had told Gabe Sapolsky, who was the booker of ROH at the time, I'm like, "You got to see these guys, El Generico and Kevin Steen. These guys are great." And, you could hear Baby Monster C in the background giving his thoughts to it. But, you know, it led on to so many different times that I would run into Kevin throughout the last 10 years. And it was almost 5 years ago when I had just gotten back from Puerto Rico, and I hated it, man. I was miserable and depressed and broke, and I had just done a year in Puerto Rico, and you would think I'd just done a year in prison. It was, you know, that miserable. Not that it was miserable, you know, I had some great times with Chuck LeGrand, as we had talked about on a couple weeks ago on the podcast, but for the most part, you're screwing with the office all the time, and you know, you just don't know the uncertainty, I was missing Colby. My soon-to-be 18-year-old son. I was missing him on the mainland a lot. So when I came back, I talked to Adam Pierce, and I said, "Hey, man, you know, if anything ever opens up," he goes, "Oh, my God." He's like, "Kevin Steen just dropped your name last week." And it was for this El Generico and Colt Cabana feud, and it just worked out so perfect. That, you know, I've been there basically five straight years in Ring of Honor. It's people talk about Oh, ECW, ECW, ECW. You know, I was in ECW for 2 years and 1 month. I've been in ROH straight now 5 years and off and on for all 12. And so that being said, El Generico goes to the WWE, and you could tell just something was missing in Kevin. He knew he could do more, and he lost 25 pounds. He really dedicated himself to trying to get into one of the tryout camps. He did. He impressed. They had committed to a deal for him. So, which brings us to last weekend. Now, his first match of the weekend happens in Cincinnati against Silas Young, and I'm commentating, and the music comes on, and I realize, like, wow, this is almost it. You know, this is one last time that I'm gonna hear this. So that was pretty emotional there. And then he had a great match with Silas Young, who was just freaking phenomenal, man. I can't say enough about this guy. And then we get into Dearborn, Michigan, which is right outside Detroit on Saturday. And I gotta tell people that, like, ever since that Kevin called me and asked me to be his last match, it has been a whirlwind of emotion, and most of it's nervousness because, you know, I'm 41 years old. I haven't wrestled in ROH in the ring in 13 months. I mean, I wrestle every other weekend on the independent scene, but it's different. The pressure isn't there. It's not television. I can basically do and what I need to do and say what I need to say to get the people going. ROH, you know, they have a format, and you got to stick to it, and there's times. And here I am wrestling Kevin Steen in his last match, and there's going to be so many expectations. And I was putting them on myself, too. So my wife and mother-in-law and baby boy fly into Detroit the day before, and you know, they're having fun, and we make the ride from Cincinnati. They didn't get a Cincinnati show, but we make the ride from Cincinnati to Detroit. I get into the hotel about 4:30, and immediately I am, like, relaxed because, yeah, my mother-in-law is in one bed, and then I look to the other, and there's my wife and my baby boy, and I crawl into bed, and, okay, I'm like, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. So I wake up the next morning. They go to the Detroit Zoo, and now I'm stuck with my thoughts. I'm like, oh, my goodness. The hell am I going to do? I mean, I literally had – no plan of attack. I had something in mind, one move to get out of, but besides that, I had no structure with this match. I didn't know what I was going to do. So the hour's going by. We have to meet in the lobby at like 2:30. And around like 11 o'clock, like, my stomach hurts and I'm tired. I'm like, maybe I should take a nap. Maybe I should take a bath. Oh, my knees are killing me. Let me go get some ice. Oh, maybe I'll take a hot bath. Like, you can hear the baby's not impressed. So I do all this. I get to the building and the ideas start flowing. And my first idea, which really starts to relax me a little bit, is to do one of the old lists that I used to do with Bobby Cruz and ROH back in 2003. And I said, man, you know, this really has the chance to be something special. And not just for Kevin, but this could really be like my swan song in Ring of Honor. Like, this is my chance to, like, storyline wise, it's my chance to be, to finally achieve redemption for all the bad stuff that I've done over the last 12 years. And, you know, the scum was gone last year, and now I'm an announcer, but I never was really punished that bad. So, you know, not just this was being punished, but I was showing that, you know, I do love Ring of Honor professional wrestling. I mean, that's storyline wise. Otherwise was like the nostalgia of it. Like, you could be seeing the end of Kevin Steen, but he's going to go on. But you're also going to be seeing the end of Steve Corino. And it didn't help that I watched, like, For the Love of the Game and watching Kevin Costner, you know, pitch that perfect game when he's 40 years old and, you know, and he knows that he doesn't have much left, but he still got that fight in him. So things start going, and I say we should do the list, and Bobby Cruz is right on it. So once we do the list, now I'm thinking, okay, now we got the match going. And Kevin, bless his heart, could have went in there and done comedy or something fun or something easy. But, man, he wanted to go out with a bang, and that's what I wanted to do. Swig of coffee for the work, man. And so we get to the point where now it's half hour before the match, and you know I'm ready. I'm pumped, but I'm nervous as all hell. And it all of a sudden I notice that all the boys are walking over to me, and you know they're shaking my hand and giving me a pat on the back, and Adam Cole gives me a hug. But it was Tommaso Ciampa that was the guy, like, for since this was announced. Or since Kevin asked me, like, he really just encouraged me to, you know, really go out there and bust my ass and do everything I can. And he said, man, just be Steve Corino out there. And it was fun and it was great and, you know, so emotional. And it was just a way to go out for not just Kevin, but for me, because I really don't want to wrestle in Ring of Honor anymore. Because it took so long to get that spot of being a color commentator on the television show. And I love it. I love being with Kevin Kelly. I love learning from him. I love, you know, the whole aspect of calling a match and making mistakes and being unfunny at times and funny at times and annoying. And you never know who I'm going to cheer for. And unpredictability is probably the best way to do it. So for me in Ring of Honor, my future is at that table. I don't want any part of a BJ Whitmer feud. He got to punch me at the end of the match. It's over. Okay, it's cool. And it was stiff. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes you can say a guy snorts cocaine on television for a year or so and he's going to throw a stiff punch at you. I get it. I got it. But, you know, that's my thing. But, like, I put a Facebook post out on Tuesday and you were listening on Friday. That, you know, I still got something to give, whether it be, you know, feuds all over the world, England, Australia, Japan, who knows, maybe return to Japan every once in a while. There's so many different guys that I want to wrestle on the independent scene that is really, it's now, I have no pressure now. The only pressure I have is I really want to cement the rest of my legacy. I think I cemented it in Ring of Honor. Now it's time to cement it everywhere else. And, you know, I'm in a good place right now. I'm talking about a good place. Let's bring in my man, Dan McGinn. Dan, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Steve. A little sleepy. You know, burning the candle on both ends. But as I said in my Twitter, we are here for some podcast domination, and I'm happy to be here tonight.
Yeah, you're slurping down that coffee.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
What do you take in your coffee?
You
say Irish team, I will come through this computer and slap you right in your Boston mouth.
Normally, I'm just regular cream, regular sugar. I'm a type that will do iced coffee all year long. So definitely just – I go easy because I've been the one who – I was an intern in minor league baseball. I was the guy who had to go out and get coffee for people, and it always used to annoy me when people would get their half-calf, you know, soy, no whip, you know, all that hot garbage. And so whenever somebody now – if anybody gives me the opportunity to get – you know, if they give the opportunity to get my coffee, I want to make it as easy and as simple as possible.
Me, I'm the same way. I prefer a dark roast, but I really don't care. But I like half and half, and sometimes one sugar, but not too much. You know, I don't like it too sweet. I like a little hair in my coffee, if you know what I mean. So you know, let's get into this battleground, man. There's so many different There are so many different opinions I've seen over the last couple days. A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people really shit on it. I personally only watched it till what was the last match I watched? Can't even tell you. Maybe the girls' match was the last one I watched. And it was Jericho and Bray Wyatt. And I was falling asleep between it, and it wasn't because the match was boring before people started writing, oh, Creo didn't like Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho. I was tired, man. It was a long night Saturday, early morning Sunday, and it was just time to go to bed. It was just not a great night for me to watch the pay-per-view. And that was the other thing, is I didn't really I turned it on at 7:58. I wasn't excited or anything like that because I was so tired. And I think that's what took a lot of the coolness out of it. But from what I saw, I liked, but I thought it was a very predictable pay-per-view. Do you agree?
I do, and part of it we'll talk about in a little bit. That was part of like a Sunday in which I had basically like 7 straight hours worth of wrestling between going to a live event and then watching this on pay-per-view. And I give a lot of guff, however you want to say it. I give a lot of criticism sometimes to our reaction show, and I love those guys. That's the only thing. I talked about Johnny Sorrow last week. Will, they do a great job, and for somebody to just go out there and do a instant reaction to something they just watched, like, thankfully you and I have a couple days, I can kind of, I can maybe watch something again if I wanted to. These guys just watch it, and then they go on the air, which, again, major props. However, when I listen to their reaction show, I feel like I want to go and kill myself or go and kill somebody else because they are so negative about the product right now that I almost need like somebody to kind of shake me and say, no, don't worry, it's not as bad as it seems. And that's where our show comes in because we're so positive, as we talked about last week. But I didn't get angry about this. Some people got angry, like, oh, it's too predictable and oh, it's so lazy and I didn't get angry about the outcomes of the matches or anything like that. I just was kind of indifferent. I was kind of meh. It wasn't anything that maybe I'll throw in down the road. There wasn't anything too terribly memorable. If I'm trying to be a completist and I'm trying to connect some stories together, but there was nothing about this pay-per-view that made me say, you know what, I'd better throw this in. This was a gem. That I didn't get, but it certainly didn't make me angry at the end of the night.
No, you know what? Going into two, I didn't have so many high expectations for the show. You're in between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, so you're not going to get a blowaway pay-per-view. You're going to get something that's going to set the table. I understand that Raw has to set the table also for the pay-per-views, but you're going to have pay-per-views that set the table. And hopefully people that listen to the show can – I'm going to say it from a booker's aspect. I'll take my PWF for example, and you can watch, we'll throw a little cheap plug in there. You can watch the last 3 shows that we've had for free on ProWrestlingPWF.com. They're YouTubed. They're a 1-camera shoot. The other, we're developing a 2-camera shoot with graphics that'll be available on high spots for on demand and stuff like that. But for raw footage, you can watch it. And people don't understand that when you are running, whether it be monthly or weekly, you need to build stories because eventually there has to be that climax. Now, with the WWE, you're going to have your climax, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, WrestleMania, and once again, and throw Royal Rumble in there too. The in-betweens are to set up those 4 big ones. Now, you may think, oh, well, it sucks that I'm going to pay money for to be set up. Well, that's why you should have the WWE Network, because it's $9.99 a month, and you're fucking lazy if you don't. So, there's times when I have to, really crawl to that bigger show because I want to grab people and give them a little bit of the story, a little bit of the story, a little bit of the story, and then hit them with the big story. You knew Cena had to win because the money match at Survivor Series in Los Angeles is John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. That is money. No matter what people want to say is, oh, Cena shut down our throats, this and that, I hate Cena, blah, blah, blah. John Cena is the face of the company. Little kids, somebody that doesn't watch wrestling, an older person, a television executive, etc. They know John Cena, okay? It's all great and good that we want Roman Reigns to hold the belt. It's all well and good that we want Dean Ambrose to win the belt, or Seth Rollins to win the belt, or Daniel Bryan to win the belt, or CM Punk to come back. John Cena's the center, man. He's the center of the universe, and then we got to build around him. So we know that going in there. So now, for me, as a wrestling fan, I already know John Cena's going to win. So you know what? I'm going to watch it for the quality of the match. I'm going to see how they can suspend my disbelief for the 15 minutes that they're in the ring. But instead, people get this, like, tight fist, and they're grumpy, and they're pissed off, and they get so angry. But they don't have to be. It's professional wrestling, man. It's a never-ending story. Now, do I believe that there was a little little flim-flam with the Seth Rollins-Dean Ambrose match? Yes, but that really was great because they gave you that great brawl. And that was one of the matches that I had a hard time thinking, like, how am I going to book this one? You don't want Seth Rollins getting beat because he's got the money, he's got the briefcase, and he needs to be as strong as possible when he cashes that in. You don't want to beat Dean Ambrose because he's already been turned on, and he's the guy that has the sympathy right now. And I thought, wow, they canceled that match. Man, that really sucks. They just screwed the fans a little bait and switch. And then when he comes out and they do that brawl and they don't have a finish, that was my satisfaction. The Usos against the Wyatt family, amazing, amazing. Paige versus AJ, give it to me more. You know what I mean? I loved it. I loved it. But I was so tired by the time that I got to Jericho and Wyatt that I couldn't enjoy it for what it should have been. And I missed the rest of the show.
Well, what did I say last week? I said that when we were thinking that there was possibly an injury angle with Rollins. If you cancel that match, this card looks a little bit, you know, not as top heavy, not nearly as even. And I think that's what we saw in this, is that, you know, I think a lot of people were really looking forward to seeing that match. And then when it didn't happen, that is probably the only thing I can point to that could maybe trigger some anger or some hard feelings or that sort of thing. But
eventually going to get it. And know what, like for anybody that believes that they were screwed, I think those are the people that may have bought the pay-per-view for $44.99. Right. And for that, I want to strangle you and say, why? Why are you still paying $44.95? You're part of the problem with this WWE network.
Well, the other thing, Steve, is I think there's just some expectations that are just completely... there's just no way that they were going to do something that huge or something that monumental on something called Battleground. Everybody last year remembered Battleground as that kind of middle of the road to bottom of the lower tier pay-per-view that didn't deliver, but it just kind of got you over until the next show, and that was that. You don't generally do your massive mammoth title changes or your incredible swerves or your monumental returns on just another show. You save that, as you said, for your cornerstones. And you know, so the idea that people had these, you know, ridiculous expectations about a show called Battleground, it's like, you know, if something cool happens on Payback, great. But you're not expecting it. You're not expecting, you know, oh my gosh, John Cena's going to turn heel and it's going to happen on Payback. You know, no, it's not going to happen. They're going to wait until something huge if they were going to ever do something like that. So I don't know. I mean, again, like I said, it was more meh, not grr, you know, that's how I felt about it anyway.
I think it's a lot of overthinking by the non-casual fan. You know, the smart marks, and we all are. If you're involved in the wrestling business, you're a smart mark because you understand the wrestling business to a point and you analyze it. You know, I consider myself a little bit of a smart mark when it comes to baseball, but I'm no cybergenesis. You know what I mean? Those guys are the smart marks of professional baseball, you know? So I think it's just an overthinking and forgetting that, man, it's entertainment. Let's just have fun with it. Enjoy it, because I don't know how many people are going to buy that pay-per-view and watch that and view that pay-per-view on WWE Network. But let's face it. It's not going to be as much as it's going to be for Money in the Bank or SummerSlam. And it's not going to be as much as that watches on Monday Night Raw. So you're only going to see little bits to get you to Raw, to get you now to August. And I thought it was an okay job, man, but you know, once again, my hat's off to the Usos and Wyatt family. They just so good.
Well, speaking of smart marks, if you will, I believe only one person on our three-person panel last week predicted that The Miz would be the winner of the Intercontinental Championship.
And,
I believe you are talking to that very person right now.
He must have had some insider information. I thought there was no shot for him.
Let me ask you this, because it's kind of a hot button issue before we get to our interview and such. What did you think? And I completely missed it. I'll admit it, maybe because I was just sort of like half dead trying to watch the pay-per-view after watching Chikara. But what did you think of the whole Lana, Rusev, you know, kind of the topical, that's the, you know, the events that happened with the plane being sent down, several casualties, and a lot of people in the media are now taking this as a, oh, look at WWE trying to take advantage of, like, you know, a tragedy on their pay-per-view. What did you think about all that stuff going down on Sunday night into Monday?
They should. Professional wrestling is all about stereotypes. There used to be Nazis. There used to be, you know, the Iron Sheik was pissed off, you know, was beating Americans in 1979 while there was hostages for 444 days. The Russians during the Cold War, the Kolos were the world tag team champions, and America's team had to get of it. Professional wrestling is built around that stereotypes to get you going. And ladies and gentlemen in the media, I don't know if you know this yet, professional wrestling is not real. There are shows out there, and I love some of them, The Following, that's about a serial killer. So every time that there's a serial killer in the news, we're supposed to say that The Following is going is stealing from them and making money off them, or Dexter or The Americans, or, you know, there's so many different things. It's a television show. And you know what? I need everybody to realize this, because I've traveled the world and I dated many girls from different countries. What Lana said on Sunday night is what people actually think about the American government. I want you to sit down, and I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to look yourself in the eye and go, oh, wow, as Americans, we're not as popular as we think we are, because you're not. We're not. What she said is what the rest of the world feels. If you could have a video camera and there was closed-circuit TV in every other country except for the U.S. during that speech, she would have been rocked over. Because she said what everybody else says outside the U.S. And you know what? She said it to get heat. Did she say anything about the plane? No. She didn't say anything about the Ukraine. This plane crash was by pro-Russian Ukraine rebels, not people that live in fucking Moscow. You know, so this is what pisses me off. It's called a television show. It's called The Bad Russian, especially in 2014, The Bad Russian. And he's doing this. And here comes Jack Swagger. And he's the real American. And he's going to overcome this bad Russian and this piece of shit girl talking bad about our country. And it's a story. It's a story. It's a freaking story. So anybody out there that thinks that it was low class for the WWE to do that, you're a moron, and change the channel. Change the freaking channel. Wrestling is all about stereotypes.
Do you think they should have called an audible and then have, like, Swagger pick up a win? Maybe if it's even like a surprise win, just to kind of get the fans back on the, hell, hey, no. America. No?
No, Swagger's not the guy. Somebody will be the guy. It'll be Cena, of course. But, I mean, he's not the guy. To get this, you know, the more heat in the press, the better it is for the character. You know, when she started doing the whole Russia thing, I'm thinking, oh my God, what are they doing? It's 2014. There is no American pride. You know, most people believe that the government had something to do with 9/11. I mean,
oh, sure.
It's not rah, rah, USA, USA, USA. And I'm thinking, what the hell? And then, you know, as the sanctions and the plan going down, I'm thinking, genius, genius. It's not real life. She is an actress and a model from like Tampa or something like that. Who gives a shit? You know, let her go out there and you wear her short skirt and be pretty and be a real bitch. And people chant USA, and eventually fucking John Cena comes down in his red, white, and blue boxers like Apollo fucking Creed, and he whips some ass. God damn it.
You know, it's just funny, Chikara. Though. It's funny, though, because back in the day, like when I was a kid growing up watching stuff, and you had like a WrestleMania themed All About America at WrestleMania 7. I mean, you had, and people forget about this, you had Hulk Hogan taking the Iraqi flag, ripping it in half, and then using it to choke Sergeant Slaughter in the middle of the ring, and yeah. Like, you know, wiping his blood all over this flag. And I'm like, if this happened now, like Hulk Hogan would have been the bad guy. Like you would have, you know, he would have lost his job. He would have been like Muhammad Hassan. It would be like, okay, well, we can't have that on our broadcast anymore, you know. But back in the early 90s, it was like America, rah rah, and let's take that American, let's take that Iraqi flag and wipe our ass with it or something. It's just amazing how much things have changed.
And it doesn't have to change. It's just people are thinking way too much. It's fucking. It's wrestling, man. I live in a military town, and I see military guys at all, and they all know I wrestle. None of them have been like, can you believe how fucking ridiculous the WWE has gotten? No, they don't. They don't. It's ridiculous. Cheer me up. How is Chikara?
Chikara was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a matinee, so it started at around 3. And part of it was for TV too. Mike Quackenbush and others in the back were doing some of these matches for television, which is pretty unique. And such a small venue, you could actually hear him making comments when the crowd got a little quiet, you know. But it was fun. It was an it was scheduled 8 matches. One of the matches between Eddie Kingston and the very popular Jervis Cottonbelly was kind of a throwaway. There really wasn't much going on there, although it was kind of fun. I kind of no-sold Jervis. He was like sitting in my section when I sat down, and I was like, he was like, hey, and I was like, hey, and then he walked away. I didn't really make anything of it, which is probably breaking Scott Criscolo's heart right now because he's a big Jervis mark. But it was a lot of fun, very family oriented, of course, as Chikara always is. You know, I could go all Jim Ross and say there were too many DDTs for high spots and too many super kicks and the lighting. I had a light right in my face, but I put that all aside and actually enjoyed myself. And, you know, it ended kind of dark. This big guy kind of just, you know, annihilated all the faces. But and then there was no announcement afterwards. It was kind of awkward. It would be like if you just went on this obscenity-laced tirade and then we didn't say goodnight. You know, that's how it kind of felt, but no, it was cool. It was a good time. I'm glad I took part in it because I've been talking about seeing Chikara for, you know, a little bit now, a couple of years now, and being able to just go and enjoy it, and it was a good way to spend a Sunday.
Well, was Aris there?
Who?
Aris?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay. He's usually there. He's my brother-in-law.
Oh.
Chikara puts on a real, real fun show. And you know what? Like, I equate it to Osaka Pro Wrestling meets DDT, which are two Japanese promotions. And it doesn't, once again, you suspend your disbelief. It's not true professional wrestling, Luthes versus Pat O'Connor. It's fun. You go out there and you just have fun. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm glad you had a good time. I liked it there.
Yeah, big moment. Spoiler for those that watch Chikara regularly, the tag team championship changed hands during the event, which was a big match. It was a really long, lengthy match. It was You had the throwbacks taking on the pieces of hate, which is Jigsaw and the Shard. Really, really good matchup. I won't give away who was champ at the time, but it was a big time pop at the end. That was terrific. You had that kind of token comedy match between Archibald Peck, who has kind of like a leader of a marching band gimmick, taking on Ashley Remington, who is a very, very funny and very talented. And his like kind of nickname is Smooth Sailing. And he had two hot chicks with him for the match. And he had his sailor's cap. He kind of reminded me of actually Rick Martel in like 1992. He kind of had that kind of feel. The model Rick Martel. You know him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ashley Remington. That was actually just like one of those kind of funny, you know, spot, you know, kind of crazy, you know, oh, I would never see that on WWE, and I like it that way type of match. So that was kind of cool. And then, just a good time. I would recommend it. I recommend a lot of just going out and getting out of the whole WWE frame of mind and going to an indie. And of course, you're Mr. Indie most of the time. But this was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed myself. All that different ants running around, you know, it was great. It was great. And we were right on top of the action. And if you get bored at a Chikara show, as you would say, you're just an awful person.
Awful person. You probably hate John Cena, too. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you had a good time. Chikara is a fun show. People should check it out. Hey, talking about checking it out, where can people check out the Steve Corino Show?
Well, sir, you can find the Steve Corino Show in any of the following ways by visiting theplacetobenation.com or placetobenation.com and clicking on the Steve Corino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast on iTunes. You all have iTunes. Check us out, Place to Be Podcast. You will receive the latest episodes of the Steve Corino Show just by subscribing to that feed. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be Podcast, of course. Download the Place to Be Podcast app by hitting placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Steve Corino Show and at @Place2BNation, at Place to Be Nation, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, if you have questions or love or suggestions for our final segment, email us at stevecorinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecorinoshow@gmail.com, or tweet up at us at Steve Corino Show. Steve!
I love it! Hey, when we come back, Thomas Boom Boom Simpson joins us, and he's got a lot of fun stories. You're listening to The Steve Corino Show. For B-Day, for New Way, and yes, I'm funky. I got your bob into the funky style. He just let him know, here comes the funky child.
Yeah. Born in the underground of North.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
I'm having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting shit.
Hey, and we're back on the Steve Corino Show. This week's guest is an old friend of mine, and you know, in the professional wrestling industry, you're going to meet plenty of people and you're going to have plenty of friends, but you're going to have friends that, you know, fall by the wayside, whether they go to different companies, whether they, you know, fall off the face of the earth or they go away or whatever like that. It's really rare when you can, you know, talk about all the good times that you had and there's no break in the chain. And this guy's one of them. I met him in 1997, when I was just wrestling for Omega, and you know, it just hit it off with him right away. Just loved his enthusiasm, his stories, just how much fun he is. And man, he is just a guy it's been around, and he's gotten his hand in so many different things over the last 20 years that it's like, I don't even know if we could go over some of the shit that he has been involved in, that like you would never think of. But he's the co-founder of Omega with Matt Hardy, and he's my friend Thomas Boom Boom Simpson. How you doing, bud?
I'm fantastic, Steve. It's great to finally be on here. I've loved every episode. And it's interesting you said we actually met, it'll be 17 years ago next Friday.
Wow.
And you brought Colby to you and Colby came to the second Omega show we did. It was in Southern Pines. And you had Colby, and he was not much older than Beck.
I was going to say that, yeah, because he turns 18 next month.
Right. So he just had this little baby with you that night. So yeah, it was 17 years ago, and I've probably worked with you more than of all the guys from that time from Omega. I've worked with you more than anybody over the years. I mean, so we've done how many shows together? Whether you worked for me, I've managed you, or worked for you. I mean, it's up there for World One, and now at PWF. So I mean, it's one of those nice enduring friendships.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Thomas, how long have you been a wrestler? Have you been a lifelong wrestling fan?
No, actually, I'm kind of a strange story because I never watched it as a kid. My parents did not watch it, although I found out back last weekend that my dad used to go across the road to our his neighbors and watch wrestling late on Saturday nights when he was a kid. Like he said, he could even remember that was from the Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles. And then he actually remembered one time when I was a kid, we went to a show, a Mid-Atlantic show, and Abe Jacobs was there, and my dad told Abe Jacobs, said, I remember watching you when I was a teenager out in California, and Abe Jacobs told him, no, you didn't. And Abe Jacobs was lying. My dad certainly did. And he remembered the Dallas Sportatorium from Dallas, of course, and where the wrestling was from. And I've actually got to go to the Dallas Sportatorium in 1987 and see a World Class show there when I was in town for a convention. You know, I got to see Kevin Von Erich and Kerry Von Erich and Eric Embry and Bruiser Brody and Chris Adams and all these great people I'd always wanted to see. And so, I mean, it was wonderful. It was like on Halloween night or the night before Halloween. But it was really cool to go there and see everyone and just the atmosphere. And I don't like corn dogs, but they had a very good corn dog and french fries there, I think because the grease hadn't been changed in about 20 years or maybe even 50 years. So it was awesome.
What was the atmosphere like there?
Run down Dallas, I guess. I mean, but it was just, it was, the crowd was really small that night. But it was great. It was, you know, you're in a historic business, just like when I used to go to the Omni in Atlanta to watch Crockett shows first and then WCW shows. And when I did some CMLL stuff at the Greensboro Coliseum, you kind of know you come in this building with all this history. So I know I'm in this place where there's all this phenomenal history, wrestling history there. So it meant a lot to me to go there. And I mean, I stood out, you go outside and get autographs and stuff. So I was more than happy to get autographs And I still have the autographs that I got from World Class and the program and everything. I kept that. I mean, that it was just incredible to go and be in the Dallas Sports Hall that I'd watched since, I guess, I started watching World Class in 83 when we got a satellite dish. So I really, it was quite a great experience. But going back to the story, I never watched wrestling on television. And my Sunday school teacher at the Baptist church I went to decided we were going to go. I think I was maybe in third grade, fourth grade, and during the summer of 1978, I took. We went over to the Greenwood Civic Center that they're about to tear down. And where Crockett did a lot of TV tapings in the 80s, we went over to see the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Show, and I remember on the show was the main event was Masked Superstar and Baron Von Raschke against Ricky Steamboat and Paul Jones for the World Tag Team titles, which they actually lost the next week. So I thought Ricky Steamboat was the greatest thing ever. So I fell in love with wrestling. They were on the show. Jerry Stubbs was on the show. I think the guy who was Steve Travis, who was Steve Muslin, he was on the show. It was just a little small house show that they did. But I still got to see. I just thought it was the greatest spectacle I'd ever seen in my life. I remember getting this Ricky Steamboat poster and bringing it home and putting it up, and I kept up till it for a year or two, and I had a wrestling program. I mean, because we sat in the bleacher seats, and I think they were like $3, $2 or $3. So I mean, and I think I paid $1 for the Ricky Steamboat poster and maybe a couple of dollars for the nice little glossy program they had. But it was always I just thought it was great, and I basically fell in love with it then. And I maybe around 82 or so, when I was in middle school, starting high school, I stopped going to any live shows. And then in 1985, I saw the Rock and Roll Express beat the Russians. And I thought that the Rock and Roll Express was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. And I got back into liking.
Oh, wait a second. So you were there the night that they...
I saw it on TV.
Oh, you saw it on TV when they won. Because I was there in Philadelphia in 86 when they had beaten the Midnight Express for their third title reign.
Yeah, it was years. It was actually, I never saw a title change on a big show until I went to a WWE show with Matt one time. And I think it's when Edge and Rey Mysterio won the tag titles in Greenville. I think that's what it was. I had never seen a title. I take that back. Well, maybe. Was that before WrestleMania or after WrestleMania 2000? And there was no big major title change at WrestleMania 2000. I was at WrestleMania 2000 as Matt's guest. But I'd never seen like a major title change. And of course, by then, the titles didn't mean as much as they did, because I always wanted to see a title change when I was a kid. That was part of the
mystique of it too, is that tonight might be the night that the title changed in my town. Right. I remember going to Philadelphia so many times, you know, where I thought, oh, this is the night that Barry Windham beats Flair, and it just never happened. You're like, oh, maybe next month. Now, a lot of people don't know that, you know, you're a teacher, a professor, just a real smart guy, but you've traveled the world and you lived in Australia for a few years. Did you ever?
I lived in Australia for like 6 months. I went there for a semester.
Years.
I went to Australia for a semester.
Did you get to see any wrestling while you were down there?
They didn't have any when I was down there. This was 89. This is really, really. This time, 25 years ago, I just come home. They didn't have any. They showed WWF on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But they had lost all of their network TV. I never saw any flyers for any indie shows or anything like that, like they have there now. So, I mean, the indie wrestling in Australia, I think, boomed right after the Attitude Era here, when the Attitude, they started showing more of it on TV in Australia. But Australia, the TV was like a year or two old Nothing was major. If you go to the newsstand, like they would have the after magazines from maybe 4 months earlier or so. So yeah, nothing was very recent there at that time. And they had, and really the only people that had like satellite TV were pubs. Pubs had Sky TV.
Sky TV.
But most homes did not have a satellite. You just had the rabbit ears on the TV. That's what we had in the dorm in the apartment I lived in on campus. So I really didn't get to see any in Australia. And I have traveled to Mexico where I did get to go. I went to Arena Mexico.
How was that?
Incredible, because I managed to finagle going as a guest of the promotion while I was there doing some language training, and so it was the night that the Villanos came back.
Wow,
Villano 3, 4, and 5. It was the night came back, and
I love that family.
It was tremendous, and I mean they had people. I mean they had Shocker was kind of young then, and they had. Cientaurus, Negrocasas was there, and actually I mentioned the CMLL show in Greensboro. Negrocasas' brother Felino worked the show.
Yep,
and they all look the same. They all of them look there. It's like twins. He and his brother are twins. They really. It's like, oh my lord. So yeah, they were there. So it was an excellent show, even though my friend that I went with, he said that was not the best show tonight. I said, no, man, I love this. Also, there was Mr. Aguila, S.A. Rios. He was wrestling that night.
Yeah?
So, yeah. That was actually, that was right after Val Venus had finished his run there.
At Steel.
Yeah. He had not long left there and was working for Vince. At the time, and that was actually about the same time Matt and Jeff got their contracts.
Right. Yeah, right around the same time.
Yep.
Now, a couple weeks ago, I had on Scotty Riggs, and a little fact that you had told me afterwards is the first show that you ever promoted had Scotty Riggs versus Rob Van Dam as your main event.
No, it wasn't the main event. The main event was actually Greg Valentine and Wahoo McDaniel.
Oh, holy shit.
They're the main event. And interestingly enough, guess who Greg Valentine was dating at the time? Medusa. Oh,
no way.
He was dating Medusa, and she came to the show, and I still have a poster she gave me at the show and autographs. So, yeah, they were dating. Actually, on the show, the Rob Van Dam was supposed to wrestle Sabu.
Okay.
But Sabu had to go to Japan. I guess for maybe FMW, yeah. And so they put Scotty Riggs in his place. And I mean, and Scotty was not, he wrestled as Scott Studd.
Yeah.
Was his name. And, but he was on the show, Rob. And I remember when Scott was talking about Chaz Rocco and going out and selling sponsorships and stuff, Chaz is the first person they sent to sell sponsorships. Chaz got fired by the company. It was actually a company that Greg Price was connected with. Chaz got fired, and then they sent Rob Van Dam to sell sponsorships. Rob's not the best sponsorship seller. He's a great wrestler, nice guy. And actually, he got a call. He had to call Bill Watts at WCW from our house when he was doing one of the sponsorship things. Because that was when he was getting ready to go to WCW.
Right.
But, but Chaz is actually who I got hooked up with American Championship Wrestling through, ended up owning part of, meeting the Hardys, and then getting bought out by my partners and going to start Omega, which lasted a lot longer than ACW ever did.
Now, going from ACW to Omega, you're going with the more old school, where you're talking about Valentine and Wahoo, to this whole new style, new genre with, you know, the Hardys and so many young guys. Did you have any idea when it started that it was going to, you know, not change professional wrestling, but it kind of did you know, once everybody went off to the bigger companies, you know, everybody, you know, where were all these guys from? Well, they were from this one company in North Carolina called Omega. And now, you know, 17 years later, people still talk about those days in 97 being, you know, way before their times. Did you have any idea that, you know, it was going to have this much impact?
I wanted to do some, and the reason Matt was not able to run shows anymore, he needed someone to basically fund his shows. He had this idea for Omega, and I wanted to get out of ACW because I wanted ACW to be more like, do more with the Hardys, more with things like that, and I just had business partners who didn't see that vision. And so and that's why I left to start this. I knew from the first show we had something great. I knew that I knew Matt and Jeff were going to end up, because they'd already been working for Vince, that they were going to make it big. I figured Jason Arndt probably would end up making it big because of his size.
I agree.
Everything else happened by sheer, I guess it was that time, and there were those three companies, and they wanted the best wrestlers in the world to get. But I was always a big fan of Steamboat and Rock and Roll Express, and when I got into Japanese wrestling, the Cruiserweights, and I loved Lucha Libre and all that kind of stuff. So those are the kind of things that I liked, and no one else in this country basically did. I mean, you might get a few things at ECW occasionally with getting guys the luchadors and stuff. But no one on the indies was doing that kind of thing. And I wanted to do that kind of thing. And Matt wanted to do that kind of thing. Something innovative, totally different than what anyone else was doing. We did it. And from there, you know, all these guys went to different places. And I mean, it was, and everybody looks back on that time as being a fantastic time where they were having fun and doing what they wanted, and it was great, and it was for me too. And I never did any more with wrestling, and there's sometimes where I think that maybe I should just quit doing it after Omega. But once it gets in your blood, you really want to do, you really want to go. And try to do more stuff. And I've been blessed with it. It's been a fantastic ride, and it's still, I always have fun. Now that I got into managing about, I guess probably 10 years ago, I started doing, I mean, as far as like managing on a regular basis and stuff, and that's been fun, but nothing matches when you go to the Omega shows and are hanging out with all your friends and stuff. Cause I keep in touch with everyone, often, I mean, text messaging, now love texting, but I remember used to get calls on the road from Matt when they'd be out in the middle of nowhere, going to another show, and he'd call me from the road and like at 2 o'clock in the morning, messing with me and stuff, and different wrestlers that would be riding with him would call to mess with me. So, and those kind of things are, that's been a great, a lot of fun to do. But yeah, I knew it was good. I knew that it was special, but who you never know that. you never know when you got magic in a bottle.
I got a couple questions before we let you go for this episode. Greatest match you ever saw live?
Ooh, probably that. I'm going to go with one that I promote that was on an Omega show. Matt, Jeff, Shannon Moore, and Jason Arndt when he was doing Venom against Mike Maverick, Shane Helms, Champagne, and I think it was Sweet Dreams. That was eight man. And you were on that show too. I think you wrestled. I think you wrestled Joy Matthews that night.
I probably did.
Because we did your show the next morning.
Right.
Because it was at the Royal County Fair. That's probably my favorite one. That and the Hardys versus Thrillers at East Wake High School when the Thrillers won the titles. The one that everybody said was the best handy match of the '90s. That mm-hmm. I think that was good. That's from the Omega time. As far as what I have promoted myself or booked myself, probably my favorite one, I think you're going to be surprised by this, is you versus Jeff Conley.
Wow, that was a lot of fun.
I think that goes down as kind of my favorite one that I've promoted things. But then again, I say that, but there's just so much good stuff. Probably the best match I ever saw. And see, I know I'm kind of going off here. The taped wise, probably Tenryu versus Muta when Muta won the Triple Crown. I mean, that was an amazing match. There's just so many good matches, and from the 80s, I really don't. I think back, but there's always something. A great match is. It's a wonderful thing. So those other three are my favorites of things that I saw live. Of course, I've seen so much wrestling on tape and on live on TV and stuff over the years that it's hard to pick one.
A lot of times I try and talk you out of your retirement and stuff like this, but it seems like every time that you're ready to hang it up, you have this great moment in your life that rejuvenates you. And last weekend, before we let you go, I want to get the story. You like a dream of mine, you know, to whether I would have been a referee, bell ringer, manager, guy putting up the ring, was you got to manage in a match that involved Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, mm-hmm. the Rock and Roll Express, against Dr. Tom Pritchard and Wildfire Tommy Rich.
Right.
Now, to me, those are the four guys that I grew up watching in the 80s. I've gotten to work with all four of them. Tommy Rich actually sent me a message today with, "Hey, when you going to use me on one of your shows?"
We were talking about that Saturday night after the show. we were talking about that Saturday night after the show, which was the first time I'd met him before, but I had never worked with him.
Yeah.
And he's just phenomenal. I mean, the stuff he was telling about Jackie Fargo stories and stuff like that. I mean, he's the only one that I did not know. And I know Robert Gibson okay. I didn't know Tommy at all. Of course, Tom Pritchard and I have been friends for years. And so I've been friends with Richard Morton for years. Love them both. I mean, just wonderful friends. So.
Awesome guys and stuff like that. Now, Thomas, you know, I tell people this all the time, whether they're from earshot or online and stuff like that. A PWF show does not run smoothly without you. And, you know, I want everybody that's listening to the Steve Corino show to know that. And this interview was great, too. So I want to have you back in the next couple weeks. You know, I wish we had more time. But, we want to get into. And then, you know, I want to leave everybody with this little cliffhanger. Maybe next time we're going to get into a little Adventures of the Pit Viper.
Ooh, yeah. Ask Edge and Lita about that Pit Viper. Ask Paul Bunn and Ashley Mazzaro about that Pit Viper. Yeah, ask if you want to ask them about that. Yeah, that's how you can.
Exactly.
That's how you can get people to start calling someone a whore. Of major cities, and how you get people to start chanting, "We want Matt" in arenas all over the world. Yeah, the Pit Viper. I'll fess up about some Pit Viper stuff. But can I just tell one story before I leave?
Sure, please do.
I got to do this. I'm going to cut in some time, but it's okay. This is about some NXT talent. You know, they've got now the mechanics, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. And Scott Dawson used to be KC McKnight here, and Dash Wilder, Steven Walters. Well, years ago, I get this has been about 10 years ago, at a there was a guy, Jesse Ortega, that worked for CWF, Mid-Atlantic in Burlington, and he was getting married, and they needed someone to come run the show that night because there was a competitor across town, and I forgot the guy's name, but his name was Richie or something. He was running against them. They asked me, would you come up and run the show for us, Thomas? I'm like, sure, I'll come up and run the show for you. So I get there. So I tell all the boys and stuff, well, I'm going to be up here running CBS show. So Matt, Jeff, Shannon, Shane, Marty all show up. Okay. So we had the show. Jeff surprises everybody and does a run-in, and Matt does a run-in and stuff. So everybody, it's kind of exciting to see. So we go out to Hooters afterwards. And I like Hooters. I love the beer and wings. So KC McKnight, who's now Scott Dawson, was on the other show. And I didn't know him from Adam. We ended up working later together for Tyshawn Williams. He's a great guy, hell of a talent. But we were in there, and he had a shirt on that said, I'm your private dancer. Well, old T-Dog HG had come out at that point. And was having his beers and stuff. I mean, I remember eating a chicken wing off the floor that night, but I digress. But anyhow, we're in there, and so I go over to Casey Matt. And all I had in my hand at that point was a Diet Coke. Because everybody knows I drink Diet Coke and beer together, right? So I walk over to him, and I tell him, I want my private dance, damn it. I want my private dance. And so he won't give me the private dance, so I throw the Diet Coke in his face. And he gets up and bows up. And about that time, there's half the WWE roster behind him, behind me. And like, what, you got a problem here? It's like Matt, Jeff, all the boys were behind me. And no, he does not have a problem at that point. So he goes and sits down. And that's my funny story. About that. I did not get my private dance, but he did.
Oh, never got the private
dance. I never got the private dance, but he did not. He didn't do anything about me throwing the Diet Coke in his face. And it was funny. I actually bought him a beer after that just to be nice and show my kindness and generosity. So that's my crazy story. I mean, there's some Hardy Party stories that, geez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll keep them from another time.
We'll do that, yeah.
I want to thank you for being on the show. It's great. And we'll definitely going to have you back in just a little bit. So, hey, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
T-Dog HG at T-Dog HD. T-D-A-W-G-H-G.
Right, and we're going to get into that next time of what T-Dog HG is all
and
about.
Nivek Navalis on Facebook. Nivek Navalis. And it actually is also T-Dog HG on Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's all there. Because Thomas Simpson, that's for my family and students and people. And I mean, people like you and your family connect the rest of the business because, I mean, your families. But it's private. Otherwise, from wrestling folks, but
right,
yeah, I have fun on it. There's some good stuff. I need to migrate some of my pictures and stuff over because I've got some pictures from over the years, like me and Randy Orton in the strip club and stuff. So yeah, I need to in the female strip club at that. So I need to migrate that over sometime. But yeah, that's where you can get me, Nivek Navalis or T-Dog HG on Facebook and at T-Dog HG. And it's dog, not like y'all pronounce the D-O-G. It's dog. Okay, it's the southern dog. So yeah, that's my handle on Twitter. So
awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being with us this week, Thomas.
Give Beck a kiss for me. Give Jordan a kiss for me.
I definitely will. Hey, when we come back on the Steve Corino Show, it's going to be some Twitter love and Q&A time. You're listening to the Steve Corino Show.
Of biting and recycling and calling it your own creation. I feel like Rockwell, somebody's watching me. I got no privacy, whether on land or at sea. And for your biting zealots, your raps are cacophonic.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob, we watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for the great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
And now, time for some Twitter Q&A
and a little bit of love
with the King of Old School and Dan, too, on the Steve Carino Show.
Hey, we're back. Great interview with Thomas Simpson. And it's time for Twitter love and some Q&A time. Do we got music this week?
I think we do. We've had some great selections the last few weeks, you know. Okay. My prom song and everything. So let's give it a moment and we'll see what they come up with this week. And go.
Go. I like it.
Oh, this takes me back.
Love it.
This is it right here.
Man, good shit. Who picks that out?
You know, it's like the disembodied voice sometimes that we hear. Sometimes just things just happen, you know. I like their taste. Whoever the powers that be are, I like their taste.
I like it too. Hey, let's jump right into this Q&A shit. At Steve J. Rogers Jr. He's got a hole. What the hell? Awesome. What are the chances of at Fight Steam Fight versus at Legend of the Mask at at PWF Legacy for the gimmick. Oh, boo, boo, boo. Bad question. And it's a bad question for this reason, Steve Rogers. Kevin Steen's character in Mr. Wrestling has nothing to do with Mr. Wrestling 1, 2, and 3. And maybe I should have explained that in the opening segment. So it really isn't a bad question. You're just uninformed. But you should know this because your dad, Steve Rogers Sr., played for the Montreal Expos back in the 80s. In Montreal, when Kevin Steen first started wrestling, he was having these amazing matches, and the crowd started chanting Mr. Wrestling at him. So unlike like somebody that like comes up with a gimmick and says, I'm just going to be Dirty Dick Slater, and, you know, and I'm just going to be dirty. He, like, the crowd called him Mr. Wrestling, and I thought that was pretty freaking awesome. Now, as opposed to the Mr. Wrestling 3 character, which is a continuation of Mr. Wrestling 1 and 2, which it has to do with the mask and a whole sorts of time-honored traditions and stuff like that, which we're going to be changing a little bit, whereas Mr. Wrestling 3 character is going to be a little bit more of a dedication to all like professional wrestling, you know, legends of the past and stuff like that. You're going to see a little Dusty Rhodes. You're going to see, you may even see John Cena move and stuff like that. Mr. Wrestling is going to be everything about wrestling. So the characters aren't the same, even though, you know, you have a Mr. Wrestling and a Mr. Wrestling. So I could see where you'd be confused, but you know, I like that. What do we got else?
Well, a good personal friend of mine, at Scott Criscolo, you can hear him on quite a few things on the PTV Nation network of podcasts. He writes at Steve Carino Show and at DMcG4881, thoughts on the announced four-way for Field on Honor in Brooklyn, hashtag ROH Wrestling. And that is a loaded match, my friend.
It is, and for people that don't know, it's at Field of Honor at the Minor League Ballpark in Brooklyn. The main event's going to be Michael Elgin defending the ROH World Championship against AJ Styles, Jay Briscoe, and Adam Cole in a four-way. Goddamn Buster Posey just tied this fucking game up. Fuck you, Jonathan Papelbon. God, I hate you. God, I cannot wait for you to be in a Detroit Tigers uniform on July 31st. Freaking Napoleon Dynamite himself, Buster Posey, hits a home run in the top of the ninth. Oh, Christ, it's hard to be a Phillies fan right now.
You know, speaking of bad baseball right now, the Red Sox had gone on a little bit of a run, and I was really starting to get excited about them. They beat Toronto. They waxed them like 14-1 the day before we started recording this podcast, which now seems like 8 days ago. But anyway, Jake Peavy is 1-9.
Yeah.
And I know wins and losses don't tell the whole story with pitchers. I used to work in baseball, as I've said before, and I'm not a sabermetrics guy or anything like that, but 1-9, golly. I never would have imagined I would see a day where Jake Peavy, unless he was like 52 and attempting a comeback of some sort, would be 1-9 in a season. And sure enough, there he is, going out there every 5 days with the Red Sox.
See, my problem with Papelbon is he bitches and moans about the team not winning, and he gives up on, now I got to watch the replay again. No, I'm going to. It's the news, right? Freight train on the news.
Yeah.
Is it good?
You're in it. He's wrestling you.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, I was on the news in Charlotte.
Oh.
With Freight Train. My wife loves Freight Train. Oh. Okay, going back to that four-way. man, sorry, Scott Crisco.
Quality baseball talk, though. Doesn't happen too often here.
Yeah, right? My mind has been blown. God, I hate Jonathan Papelbon. You know what? I hope he gets Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, jeez. Steve. God.
So let's go back to this four-way. You have Adam Cole, the former champion, Jay Briscoe, the former champion, AJ Styles, the current IWGP champion, and the current world champion, Michael Elgin. This one's a hard one, unlike the four-way that we saw at Battleground. So I'm excited for it. I can't wait to call it. You know, you got four hardworking individuals in there. It's gonna be very, very interesting. And that's just the first one that I saw announced for Field of Honor. All right, we got Steve J. Rogers Jr. again. Random baseball question. Oh, Posey should have hit a goddamn home run during this question. Other than your entrance themes, what would be your at-bat or pitching warm-up song? I had to think long and hard about this. I'm going with the Emperor's March from Star Wars.
Wow.
And I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I'll tell you why in a second. What do you got?
You know, I was thinking about this today, looking at these questions, and anybody who knows me knows that I will never be mistaken for a professional athlete in any way. So all this is dreaming, really. There's a song by a band called Skillet, and it's called Hero. And you might have heard it before if you're a fan of 2010 wrestling, because it was the official theme of the Royal Rumble that year. And just really badass. I think if I was like a reliever, you know, the hero coming in, saving the game, that sort of thing, like that would be something that would definitely pump up the fans a little bit. There are so many other great songs. I was actually thinking, too, just to really tick off with the rest of the Nation podcast network or even the internet writers out there, is maybe just coming out to John Cena's theme and getting it over with.
I like that. I picked the Emperor's theme because I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I was working in Toronto with Tyson Dukes, and that was the music. That's the music they picked for us. And I just loved it. You know, I'm not dancing. Jordan thought I was goose stepping, but I was walking like a soldier, I thought. She thought I was goose stepping. Who goose steps anymore? Jonathan Papelbon probably goose steps.
Oh, I bet.
I'm not saying that he's a Nazi, but he's pretty close.
I bet he duck faces too when he takes selfies.
Oh, right. What an asshole. What else we got?
We got the Honor Report coming back at us. He writes at Steve Carino Show, thoughts on how real-life events affect wrestling storylines. For example, Rusev and the plane crash, and one that I mentioned earlier today, the Muhammad Hassan and the aftermath of the bombings in London, which is known as 7-7 out there, in July of 2005. And eventually, as we know, the Muhammad Hassan gimmick was, you know, he basically was, you know, written off. The UPN didn't want him on the air. SmackDown basically had to like a TV show would, kill off a character. That's basically what happened in that scenario. So, Steve, I guess the question is we kind of touched on this in segment one, but yeah, maybe touch on the other stuff. You know, I mean, post 9/11, you have a character like that obviously ruffled some feathers, and just horrible timing for that gimmick in 2005.
We talked about that earlier. It's just ridiculous. It's wrestling, man. It's stereotypes and everything like that. I think it's overblown. People take it too serious. It's bullshit. It's just bullshit. And real life events do not affect it. They should not affect wrestling storylines. Wrestling's not supposed to be in good taste. It's supposed to be entertainment, just like every other television show that has an antagonist and you know, that gets beat up at the end. That's the way it should be. Jonathan Papelbon looks like Eddie Edwards, by the way. Next time I see Eddie Edwards, I'm going to kick him right in the vagina just because I hate Jonathan Papelbon. Yeah, that's real life.
Yep.
All right, I got one. Jesus Christ, Steve J. Rogers again. Hey, more baseball talk. I love it.
Ah.
Thoughts on this Sunday's Baseball Hall of Fame inductions. Where do the three skippers and Maddox rank on your all-time list? Well, I will tell you Bobby Cox is on my list. Hate Bobby Cox. He's a wife beater. He is. Smacks around his wife. Hate him. La Russa, he's good. He was great. Joe Torre, come on. You know, Joe Torre's awesome. But then you got Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, and Frank Thomas going in. I think it's a great class besides Bobby Cox. And you had to put him in. His wife couldn't take another year of not him being in. So, yeah, every time they lose a game in the last inning, I always worried about poor Mrs. Cox.
I will say this about this Hall of Fame class. At least the voters and then the expansion committee, whatever they're now deciding to call it, they at least were able to pick some names that were, you know, quite marketable. I remember in 2013, they had Hank O'Day, Jacob Ruppert, and Deacon White. And I thought to myself, this must be the weakest class I've ever seen for any type of Hall of Fame. And I'm sure those guys were excellent at what they did. It's just that you need to have some sizzle. You need to have some name that kind of gets your attention. I think they overcompensated in 2014 because there aren't too many people on the planet that don't know at least those six guys we just mentioned. But, yeah, you want to talk about a loaded class. I mean, Glavine, the local guy from up here in New England, Maddux just painting those corners, just, you know, fantastic ambassador of the game, whether he was with the Cubs or the Braves. Frank Thomas, the big hurt, very marketable commodity. I mean, he was one of those guys that got people like me into baseball. It's like, well, you know, I do like the Red Sox, but I can kind of watch this guy and really look up to him, too. He's just phenomenal. The ball just flies off the bat. You know, this was kind of now this generation where, you know, that really, you know, prior to the heavy, heavy steroid discussion, these were guys that got us into the game. So I am very happy with, you know, that we actually have names we can follow going into the Hall. And it really is a makeup from 2013.
Piazza's got to go in. Whether he's gay or not, he has to go in.
You really think he's gay?
No, Compton thinks he's gay.
How is Cliff, by the way?
He's doing awesome.
He just blows up my Twitter wall.
He just makes me laugh every time. he just makes me laugh every time I even think of him. I tweeted out that I hope Jonathan Papelbon gets Luke Erickson. sometimes I crack myself up. All right.
One last question. This is from at Tyson Ducks or
Dukes.
Dukes. I thought so. I knew I had a 50-50 on that one. At Tyson Dukes, he goes, I have a question. Steve, why are you so cool? That is all.
Oh, he's so nice. I love Tyson Dukes. One of the most underrated guys in professional wrestling. Should have a spot everywhere, anywhere. He looks great. He always goes out and has a good match. He can talk. Yeah, just, you know, untapped talent. Untapped talent.
Now he's going to bury me for messing up his name, isn't he?
He should.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get some Twitter love going on. Dave from our guest T-Dog HG said, love the at Scotty Riggs interview and talk about Chaz Rocco. Scotty versus RVD was at my first show ever. Hey, we went over that in the interview. That was cool.
Excellent. Excellent work. This is at TimmyD82. He goes, at King Carino, loved your interview with at Real Scotty Riggs. Great stuff. Hashtag all hail King Carino at Place to Be Nation. That was a good one. Now, if you want to go back to a couple shows, Real Scotty Riggs gave us a lot of good material. And I think this is, and you hear this all the time in podcasts. Oh, we talked for 35 minutes. We pretty much could have gone another 2 hours. This is legit. Like, he was excellent. We almost did have to play the, you know, we had to cut him off and say, hey, let's save this for another show. It's like scoring 14 runs one day and then scoring 3 the next day, like the Red Sox did. Golly, that's what's Scotty Riggs. So anytime you see Steve Carino show featuring Scotty Riggs, that's definitely appointment radio podcasting right there.
Yeah, very, very cool. I can't wait to have Scotty back on. He's great. This one from Chris _ Slater. First thoughts of King Carino podcast at Steve Carino show. Little too much at MLB talk for my taste, but overall I enjoy it. Hey, you're going to hate this fucking segment then.
I think we've talked more baseball this segment than we've had the previous 10 shows.
Yeah, you're not going to want to listen to next week when we talk about our trade deadline our trade deadline special.
Yeah, two guys rooting for seller teams talking trade deadline. That is coming at you next week.
Oh
man. At Mr. Straight Edge writes, at Ring of Honor, just ended at Steve Carino Show. Thank you. And the send-off of that Fight Steen fight was awesome. Hashtag thanks, Steen, thanks. Hashtag watch ROH. Hashtag ROH.
Yeah, it's, you know, the whole thing. You know, we had champagne and streamers and balloons and silly string, and we gave him a John Cena doll. It was a real cool send off, and he didn't know any of it. So it's good. Now the Phillies got first and third, one out. They better not blow this. Sorry, Chris Slater. At my PWA account. At Ken Carino, at DM me MCG4881.
That's why I don't get followers.
It's rough. My friends and I totally made Pabst beer floats for my 22nd birthday back in 04. Okay, I get it. You're 32. Sure, Guinness would be much better, though the PBR float was good. You're disgusting. That's disgusting.
For those that don't know, we had the discussion of the Guinness float last week, which I had Guinness with ice cream in it at a Fenway Park. This guy, PBR, though, man, I mean, I know he's trying to, you know, butter me up in particular because of the whole Guinness float thing, but I couldn't drink PBR with anything. You could, any type of good thing that you could think of to put into a PBR, I would still not drink it. Chocolate syrup, ice cream, chicken fried steak, whatever. It's still PBR at the end of the day. That's my opinion anyway. What do you think?
I'd rather drink water. And this is a guy that drinks Mickey U's.
Oh, you can see a picture of that Guinness float if you follow me on Twitter, at DMcG4881. At JGreeny2179, he writes, at Rob Dimension, spent the morning cleaning my house and listening to you at Steve Carino Show. Always a treat.
Oh, my goodness. Now, we talked about the – will Rob Dimension become more of a part of our show? And it's overwhelmingly a no. we're going to have Rob Dimension back. Next couple weeks, he was fun as a co-host, so we want to make sure that he does come back. And you're cleaning your house. That's great. That's great. I'm sure it was a shit, you know, pig's eye. Go ahead. Oh, it's my turn. Fish approved. Steve Carino Show. I blame DMcG4881 for the death of Estonian Thunder Frog at the Chikara Show. Please explain.
I will. So remember earlier I said that I no-sold Jervis? You know?
Yeah.
I felt like an idiot. Like, it would have been a good opportunity to just be like, hey, you want to take my picture? Because he was just sitting right there and I was right there. But anyway, I also kind of sort of no-sold the Estonian Thunder Frog. Maybe I'm just bad at being an indie wrestling fan these days, but he was coming up and he was trying to get people to buy his shirts. He's standing at the ring, and I didn't, you know, I was like, I don't even really know, because he was on the main event. So this was during intermission. I was like, I don't even know who this guy is. I'm not really sure I'm ready to commit to buying his shirt yet. So I kind of just sort of waved and didn't think anything of it, right? So he's in this six-man tag match at the end, and the losers have to wave the winner's flags at the end. And so the Estonian Thunder Frogs team won, and he was the sole survivor. It was also elimination. It was pretty cool. And then all of a sudden, there's a commotion on the other side of the arena, and this guy, I said this big guy came in and basically was the turd in the punch bowl. He basically, you know, made everybody go home sad. Well, he looked like Bane from, like, Batman, and he just came in and just absolutely murdered the Estonian Thunder Frog at the very end. So here he is celebrating the victory, probably a little bummed out that I didn't buy a shirt, no sold him. And the next thing you know, he's getting decapitated on the floor outside the ring. And he had to get carried out. And Fisher proved apparently thinks it's because of me, and I feel horrible about it.
I'm going to say it's because of the booking.
Clearly you're not the type that wears the same shirt when the Phillies are in the playoffs.
No.
No? Okay.
No, I have 32 Philly shirts. I'm wearing Philly shirts and Philly pajamas right now. Yeah, it's true.
All right, at Edge Saber 29, at King Carino, at Rob Dimension. Great hearing the XOC reunion at the Steve Carino Show. Keep it going. I'd rather not, man. I mean, guy doesn't even like Frozen.
Right? What an asshole, right?
Oh, God.
He's like the Jonathan Papelbon of podcasts.
Speaking of which, I said to him, you know, since, you know, we're kind of like rolling here with this hyped and geeked thing, why don't I come on to your show and then we won't tell Steve. We'll just go ahead and do our thing. We'll be hyped and geeked and have a good show. And all he did was laugh.
He's so, a nerd.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a show. I think he just tells people to go see it. All right. What else we got here? I could be wrong too. Must be a woman. At Steve Carino Show, at Rob Dimension. I like the very loose feel of the show. So yeah, add some more Rob. It sounds like more of at Kim Dimension as opposed to at I could be wrong too. Dissing Rob Dimension at what a turd this week. Nothing really. Like, I've been nice to him the last couple days, so I hit him with a doucher and I hit him with a turd and a wiener today. And then he just told me I was rude. Mm. He's rude. Hey, this weekend I will be in Norfolk, Virginia for Vanguard Championship Wrestling. And come see me. It's me and Adam Page from ROH against the mysterious black man, Phil Brown, and the enforcer, C.W. Anderson. It should be a lot of fun. My name's on the marquee, so don't let that discourage you. And that's about it. I think that's it. Could be it. Oh, I think me and Jordan are going to Marlins game this week. Every time me and the baby want to take our reign. So hopefully this week the curse is over. What do you got going on?
I'm actually attending a wedding from one of my cousins. Sarah is marrying a Irish gentleman, so she's staying in the family. It's funny because she's the daughter of my aunt, who has a different last name, and now she's marrying somebody with the last name McGinnis. So she's part McGinn, part Bowman, and now part McGinnis. So we're all gonna. It's just gonna be one big happy family this weekend for her wedding. And that's really about it for me. No baseball, no wrestling for me. Just a whole lot of, you know, tearing up the dance floor, wearing my suit, and maybe maybe there's an open bar. You know, who knows? So if I drunk text you this weekend, just let it go. I apologize now.
Oh, you're that type of asshole, aren't you? Jeez, Louise. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at King Carino or any of my projects at PWF Legacy. Follow them on Facebook also, www.facebook.com/PWF Legacy. Follow the website. Watch the shows. They're on there for free. ProWrestlingPWF.com. Mr. Wrestling 3's Twitter is at Legend of the Mask. American Tiger at Go American Tiger. Am I forgetting anybody here? I don't know, Dan.
Well, you can follow me at dmcg4881. Be just like Thomas Simpson, our guest today, and follow me, the few, the proud, the revolution, that is, my Twitter account. A lot of updates on the show, a lot of updates on the Kevin Kelly show, some observations on baseball, heaven forbid, as well as Place to Be Nation goings on, and sometimes some observations. And pictures as well. Also, a new project for me is that I've graduated from writing about WWE superstars each and every week on Place to Be Nation. Scott Criscolo has passed the baton, as it were, on his Raw recaps, and that now falls on my shoulders. And watching Raw for 3 hours when you're used to watching Raw only for 90 minutes on Hulu, quite an adjustment. But my really, I filled in for him 2 weeks ago. This week was the first week I wrote it. Under his name, but it was me basically ghostwriting. And the Raw recap, all three agonizing hours of your Raw After Battleground, written about by yours truly. So check that out as well on Place to Be Nation. While you're there, click on that Amazon link. Just do your regular Amazon shopping like normal. And they throw back a little bit our way, which is great because, like I said last week about Brad Woodling, our disembodied voice, usually our third man in, he has a baby on the way, and, diapers aren't cheap. So click over on Amazon when you're checking us out on placetobenation.com.
Cool. Next week, we'll be back with our special trade deadline show. We're going to have a new guest. I don't know how it'll be by then. But we'll keep you going. Keep making sure you follow us. Until next time, Dan McGinn, myself, for our guest Thomas Simpson, and for everybody listening. Thanks, and we'll see you next week right here on The Steve Carino Show.
Thank you for listening to The Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com.
She borrows my